This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. Carm Capriotto. Good to see you all. Thank you. I'm always honored to have you here. And as a great listener of all of our podcasts, not only mine from RemarkableResults.biz, but from the Aftermarket Radio Network. So appreciate that. Without you, we can't keep doing this. And we have been churning out since 2015. And we just love what we do here. Hey, look at one of the great programs that we all need to get behind is Breaks for Breast. And we all know someone who's been affected by breast cancer. But did you know that our aftermarket does have a great program? It started by two shop owners called Breaks for Breasts. So far, it's raised $1.8 million for vaccine for a triple negative breast cancer. 100% of every penny that's donated, it goes directly for research at the Cleveland Center. Not one dime comes off. And we need your help and involvement as the vaccine is in clinical trials. Please go to breaksforbreasts.com and enroll your shop in the cause, because I said so. And that's just how it is. Welcome, Wayne Colonna. Hey, Wayne.
How are you, Carm?
Great, man. The technical director at ETE Reman.
Death said, I also wear the hat of a president for ATSG.
Yes, you do. Oh, I don't know how you do it. I mean, you're traveling everywhere. You're never home. You have two places to live in. You the man.
I'm surprised that I still have hair. It's really, to me, it's amazing. I still have some.
When I saw you at TST's big event, I looked on the top and just trying to see. I mean, when we get up, we have gray hair and beards like us. You just wonder where it all goes.
Yeah, it does. It goes by so fast, doesn't it? Nobody has come up with a clutch material that gives us a break on time. It just hasn't happened yet.
That's really good. That's a good inside story. I like that. Registration is now open for APEX 2024, November 5th through the 7th. You know, APEX will build upon the incredible success of Joe's Garage, a 10-bay working environment, from hands-on to the best training. If you earn your living in the auto service aftermarket, APEX is for you. Visit AAPEXshow.com. Hey, let's face it, your shop management system is the most critical tool in your shop. And Napatrax will move your shop into the SMS fast lane. With on-site training, 6 days a week support, and local representation. Find Napatrax on the web at napatracs.com. Also, thanks to aftermarketmanagementnetwork.com for information that can help you move your business ahead and for the free and informative laborratetracker.com. Transmissions are really interesting and they're changing. And transmissions today aren't like your grandfather's Oldsmobile anymore.
No, the yabba dabba doo days are over.
Oh, that's funny. So we were chatting and I had missed his presentation. We were in our studio doing recordings. And I said, why don't you come on the show and kind of give us a little bit of a high level of what you're telling your people about. And, you know, you've got these tech lines and you talk about being able to get training topics from input on technician tech lines. It's amazing what you learn.
Well, yeah. And, you know, when we handle the tech lines, we actually put them in categories, too. Is it human error? Is it an engineering flaw or a part flaw? So we try to categorize them so we know what we're dealing with. And, of course, over the years, because we're lacking more and more transmission techs, we're having other calls coming in from drivability techs trying to diagnose transmissions. They understand engines, but they might not fully understand what's going on with a transmission. So it adds another level of another dimension to the diagnostics that are involved.
We need to know when we're doing diagnostics how that transmission really affects everything.
Or how other things affect transmissions, right? I know that for years I've done some seminars for WorldPAC and APEX and even for G where we talked about how the wrong tire sizes or underinflated, overinflated tires can affect the way the transmission shifts. Brake bulbs, brake switches, brake circuits can affect the transmission. NOx sensors, air filters, mass airflow sensors, they can all have an adverse effect on the way the transmission functions. Well, I just recently dealt with a wonderful tech out in Arizona that had a Nissan Altima that a customer kept complaining it didn't move. But really what it is it had no throttle response and he called it no move. But it was so intermittent and so far in between, he could never find out what it was. There was no code set, but he finally figured it out. And what it is an alternator issue. And if you're idling in gear for any length of time, like you're in McDonald's to get a hamburger and you're idling in gear. It's at night. The windshield wipers are on. The headlights are on. The heater is on. You got a heavy load on the electrical system. If the voltage drops below like around 11.5 volts, the vehicle would automatically initiate a no throttle response and you weren't moving. You shut all the power off, all the accessories off, and the engine RPMs come up just enough to get over that 11.5 volts somewhere in that area. And then all of a sudden the throttle came back and there was no codes. And it happened to be some rebuilt alternators that are doing these things. But I do know that it happened with Altimas, with the CVT transmission.
Every time someone says CVT to me, they lift their eyebrows.
Yeah, well, you know, those CVTs are unique animals, that's for sure.
Well, we have to pay attention to that. My daughter has a Rogue.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, they have a unique way of shifting. They can also add, like, what feels like step shifts, but the pulleys are ratio, doing the ratio changes, and depending on the vehicle, sometimes it just feels like a rubber band.
Do they have a lot of problems?
Each CVT has their own, just like an automatic transmission, they all have their own little idiosyncrasies and issues. In time, they do have issues, but I've seen some CVTs last over 100,000 miles. So I have seen where some CVTs in Nissans, I had the opportunity to do a fleet account that they drove the vehicles a lot as a result of them being a fleet account, and they would have failures between 40,000 and 70,000 miles. We would have some pretty catastrophic failures with the CVTs.
Look, do you have to be a specialty transmission shop, or can you be a regular mechanical shop and know enough and a lot about transmissions? We know, just talking to friends in the industry, they're backed up 3-4 weeks. A lot of them are waiting for reman units to come in. And I just wonder, are we doing enough with transmissions at the traditional mechanical shop?
Boy, I'll tell you, the learning curve of an automatic transmission today is pretty large. You know, when I started, there was only 2 and 3 speeds with modulators, governors, throttle cables. And so I progressed with the changes. And now we're talking about 10 speeds, computers inside the transmissions. We're talking about adaptations. We're talking about solenoid strategies. There's just a whole lot more going on. And for someone who doesn't know anything about transmissions, it's a pretty good learning curve to actually get into it.
Doesn't ATSG provide that kind of technical support?
Well, ATSG is definitely a technical support group, but we're not really set up to do training from ground zero. So no, we don't do that.
So if I wanted to go and start learning a lot about transmissions, maybe make it for me as a technology specialist, a side hustle, not a side hustle, but just a specialty, okay? Would attending your classes and classes like yours get me there? Because you said it's really tough to learn from the basics up, but I want to learn transmissions. Where do I go? What do I do?
Well, you know, it's a good question. I'm sure that there's some schools out there that could train, or vocational school that can begin. I would check your local vocational school to see what kind of program is out there. So at least you can get your foot in the door and get to know the basics, and then take it from there. And if you're already a mechanic that's knowing how to use a scope, dealing with drivability issues, the learning curve should be a lot quicker because there's so many similarities in checking electrical circuits and things like that.
So tell us about some of the stuff that comes in and what you're learning from it, and give us some great advice.
One of the things that, as I mentioned before, doing seminars about different things that could affect the transmissions recently, what I did at G's class, the big event, I did something different. I did what was called transmission change awareness, because one of the things that I started to see in our technical hotline, helpline, is due to the lack of transmissions diagnostic men, others are coming in, and we had covered so many issues in years past that are lost now to others that are now starting to try to diagnose them. And with that, older vehicles are being worked on. And so as a result of that, we had a situation where like a 2001 Passat could also be in an Audi A6 or an Audi A4 Quattro. The transmission is a 5 HP 18, and the the turbine shaft speed sensor, the input shaft speed sensor, could either be an AC pulse generator or it could be a Hall effect sensor. Both are two wire, and the pin assignment on the pass-through connector that the harness plugs into remains the same. So if you swap out a 5HP that has an AC pulse generator and you put a unit in that has a Hall effect, you're going to have a turbine sensor code that it's going to drive you crazy trying to figure out why can't you get it to work. And it's because it's the wrong application.
But why would somebody do that?
Well, it's a 5HP 18. They could swap out a unit and just put a rebuilt in or something like that. Or it could be built wrong and you have it set up wrong. So you can make that mistake.
We make assumptions.
Well, yeah. And so I did this presentation called Transmission Change Awareness. And if you're not aware of the changes that have taken place within a family of transmissions, you can have a misdiagnosis.
You were telling me in the lobby about there was a model change and one of, and I can't remember, maybe it was this unit you're talking.
Yeah, this is the one.
Who would have known? Well, I've been working on these for how many years? And now all of a sudden I get a reman or I get something from the junkyard and I put it in and it won't work with the car.
That's right. Yeah.
I love the title, Transmission Change Awareness.
And we would have situations where speed sensors, like in a Toyota front wheel drive, they have a U 660 and a U760, and the input and output speed sensors are mounted on the valve body, and then you put it up, bolt it to the case, and it goes through the case to read the barrel of the case, the rotation of the planetary system. And of course, a U660 is a V6, a U760 is a four-cylinder, so the barrel of the case is different in size. So a U760, the speed sensors are longer, whereas a U660 is shorter. When you put them side by side, you could barely tell the difference. But we've had U660s put in U760s, and you have speed sensor codes, and you're not sure why, and you've got a brand new set of speed sensors in there.
So as a tech support line, you have to be not only have a ton of common sense, but you have to know these changes. You also have to be a detective.
Yes, and again, I think the first time that you interviewed me back in, I think it was 2018. The technician's words are our eyes, and their words help us see what's going on with the transmission, with the vehicle that they're working on. And sometimes those words are not clear enough. They can get us in the wrong place in diagnosing. And so, yeah, it does take a little detective work to ask the right questions to try to get to the right place.
Let's keep going down. You submitted me a list. There's so many interesting things here.
Okay, so we have another example of a change was GM 6040 transmission. They originally had pressure switches inside their Tecum. The Tecum is the valve body computer system all in one in the transmission. And the pressure switches were used to monitor what was going on with the solenoids and was essential in them having the computer know the adaptation of going from clutch to clutch to control a shift feel. Well, in generation two, they eliminated that, and they have a completely different way of determining what that clutch pack clearance is to be able to provide the adaptation needed for proper shift overlap. And so what they do is they purposely begin to apply a clutch that's supposed to be off when you're in a specific gear. Say you're in sixth gear, they'll put the 3-5 reverse clutch on. They'll slowly put it on till they see the transmission try to bind up. And by doing that, they can begin to monitor how much volume of oil it takes to fill up that clutch. And so based on that, they then can have that adaptation where they can release one clutch, apply another, and have that shift overlap just right so the shift is smooth. So the customer can actually feel like something going on with the transmission where the computer is actually applying these clutches to find that number for adaptation, and it's normal. And the other thing that they do is once you're in a particular gear, it then takes the main line pressure and starts lowering the line pressure until it sees the transmission begin to slip. And then they raise the line pressure just a little bit above that. And they do that for fuel economy, because if they can get the engine to drive the torque converter and a transmission that the pump is as low as possible, it's not as working as hard, and they get better fuel economy. So you could actually have a gauge on it and see that line pressure come down, the transmission slip and come right back up, and think that there's something wrong, and that's nothing wrong. You have to be aware of these changes and not misdiagnose the unit.
So you're sitting here as a technician asking this question, so why would those engineers do that? Yeah, I mean, it's the CAFE standards. There's so many reasons why things are done.
Yeah, it's a combination of, like you say, CAFE, as well as money. Can they make it for less money? Can they produce it with less money? Sometimes it's as simple as that.
So I hear all this stuff, and it's genius to be so good at understanding transmissions and change awareness, to your point. Why don't we have more transmission shops in the industry?
We're not seeing young people get into it. You know, we were making fun earlier about the color of our hair. When we do seminars, all we see is Q-tips all around.
Don't get me started about the young people that we need to get and drag and join our industry. We're all responsible to get out there and talk to counselors and talk to principals and talk to parents that what we do in this great high-tech skilled trade of ours is honorable work.
Absolutely is. The transmission business has been an excellent career for me. It really requires someone who is intelligent. It takes intelligence to work on these vehicles. Regardless, transmission, engine, it takes intelligence. It takes talent. It takes someone that can think and reason. You have to have critical thinking. You have to know how to diagnose and the steps that are necessary to actually get to the resolution of a problem. I know that much of our work we have, the way our bulletins are presented, we show complaint, cause, correction. And it's been like that since I started working at ATSG. And the complaint, cause, correction, we try to make it so that not only do we give you the problem, but we give you the resolution and what caused it. And within that, we try to have some education. So we try not have it to be just a silver bullet, because, you know, there has to be, how did we get from the problem to the resolution? How did we get there? And every transmission problem, it's always something different. And you don't want to get stuck in becoming a pattern failure repair person either, where, you know, there is a common problem that happens and you're used to it. You know, you're used to this one particular solenoid failing all the time. So when the car comes down, yeah, I know what it is. Let's just change the solenoid. Next thing you know, you have a wire harness problem because, you know, you didn't go through your normal steps of diagnosing. You just assume because of it being a common problem. And I would suppose most of the times that would work out for the shop. Every once in a while, they might get stuck. But silver bullets are helpful. But learning and understanding how to diagnose a problem and the steps to take, that's talent. That's real good talent.
It's not a dirty job anymore, is it?
Well, taking the transmissions in and out, taking them apart and cleaning them, it's not clean. But to diagnose, that can become dirty at times, but it requires so much more than just swinging a wrench.
Any skilled trade, I don't care if you're a welder or if you're a plumber, you're going to get dirty. It's part of the job. But we're moving into this high-tech arena. We have been for years in our motors, in all the components of our vehicle, but so have transmissions. And I'm not sure we've stopped long enough to say, you know what? Let's put up an extra bay here. Let's become transmission specialists. Let's hire ourselves, get ourselves. Let's put someone in an apprentice program. Let's get someone out of school. I hear the backups. Your company has, a month-long backup in reman transmissions?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, with ETE reman. It's amazing. The orders just keep coming in and coming in and coming in. And we just keep trying to build them and build them. It seems like the more we build, the more we could sell. It just doesn't stop.
So is it easy just to wait on a, you know, 2 or 3 week delay on getting a reman transmissions or diagnosing what you currently have?
It's just getting the transmissions out the door to meet the demand, the orders that we have. We're only rebuilding primarily 4 speeds, 5 speeds, 6 speed transmissions. We haven't even begun doing 8 speeds, 10 speeds yet. We're just slammed, and we're doing mostly GM, Ford, and Chrysler. So just between GM, Ford, and Chrysler and 6-speed transmissions, it's crazy how much work.
Apex 2024 is just down the road, November 5th through the 7th, and you need to gear up to attend. Find everything you need to know at aapexshow.com. And as Apex unites the global automotive aftermarket, they offer to the auto repair segment an opportunity to speak to the best tech companies, from tools and repair to management software, with their latest and greatest on display and demonstrated for you. Many shop owners come to hang out at Joe's Garage and take in the 10 working bays, see technology displays, and embrace the training courses. Apex 2024 training has some of the best subjects you've ever seen at an event like this. It offers advanced technical and business management training for professionals who want to maintain excellence and take their business to a higher ground. Joe's Garage is the Apex destination that pulls your Apex experience together with real, live working conditions. Registration is now open. Reserve your spot. Go to aapexshow.com. Be there November 5th through the 7th, 2024, and I'll see you there. Hey, let's face it. Your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the industry's best, most comprehensive SMS. Now, it all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you need to run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice, and having local representation is a huge plus. Customizing tracks to your business, whether you're a one-person shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company, a representative consults with you to help optimize your shop's workflow, efficiency, and profitability. Tracks always has the flexibility to do business how you need to do it, which means it can also grow as your business grows. And unlike the other guys, we'll be there for you after installation with the best training and support in the business. Yes, a learning management system tailored to each role in your company. Simply put, Trax was designed and built for shop owners just like you. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com. So it's always great to get tips or ideas that you can call your own. At automotivemanagementnetwork.com, a favorite feature for many members is short and to the point real-world ideas for your shop. At Automotive Management Network, they serve up over 365 tips to cover a year's worth of ideas that you can use to improve yourself and your company. Get a ton of great stuff at automotivemanagementnetwork.com, the creators of laborratetracker.com, the industry's only resource for labor rate info. It's such an amazing specialty in my mind. I so respect the transmission business. I don't know a heck of a lot about it, which is why you're here. I find it to be such a fascinating piece of equipment. Every time I was under a car, I was watching technicians work and looking at this device and then learning more and more and more about the transmission, realizing that there's so much magic sitting inside that housing.
Yeah, and today, especially with the 8-speeds, 9-speeds, 10-speeds, they have skip shift technology. They're not just going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10, 9, 8. They're not doing that. They're skipping shifts for whatever's appropriate for the load, the torque, speed. And so it's really hard to say, oh, I got a 1, 2 flare. I'm slipping 2, 3. You have no idea what gear you're having a problem with. You actually would have to have some type of a scan tool to give you a sense of what's happening and to know really what shift is giving you a problem.
Any unique things coming out on Jeeps?
Well, the Jeep, they had the 9-speed transmission, and that's a very unique transmission. Talk about being aware of changes. Just the very nature of that particular 9HP transmission is good to know, because they have something in that front-wheel drive transmission that's different than any other automatic transmission that I've ever known. They have what's called dog clutches. They have dog clutch A and dog clutch F, and they're literally like a gear without a synchro, where like you would have to engage a tooth to a tooth so that they would have a mechanical connection, but no synchro to time the engagement of the two components coming together. So in order for that to happen, they have to change engine RPMs, change torque converter, clutch apply, release, speed something up, slow something down, so that they could make that mechanical connection without grinding the teeth during that connection. and during the release, but mostly during the connection. So your vehicle will actually feel a little funny to make that shift take place. And if you're not aware that that's normal, then you're going to try to fix something that you can't fix. So that's one thing. And then the 2015, 2016 model, there were the Jeeps, they had some really big problems. And when they did some reprogramming, the dealership did reprogramming, there was more complaints then of losing ninth gear. And they say, well, the ninth gear is still there. It just comes in at a different time than what it used to. A friend of mine who actually owned one of these vehicles said the only way he could get ninth gear is going down a hill at 50, 60 miles an hour, and it'll finally come in. And that's the only time you'd see ninth gear come in. But yeah, that's a unique transmission, the ZF 9-speed.
And you scratch your head and you wonder why. How about GM's TUNPUN programming?
Oh, the tune and the poon. Okay.
Tune poon.
Yeah, tune poon. That's the transmission unique number and part unique number. This is boils down to the solenoids. Even Ford, same situation where Ford, at least they give their solenoids band numbers, band 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and it's based on the pressure output of the solenoid. So in other words, when the manufacturers make the solenoids, the pressure output will vary. They can't make a solenoid that'll be exactly the same, every one of them. So with the variations, they determine the pressure output and they sign it a specific band so that the computer then needs to know that. So now it knows how to operate the solenoid so that the shifts would be appropriate, the shifts would be acceptable. Well, what GM has done is rather than having a band numbers on the solenoids, they have all that information in the cloud. So they assign a number to the transmission. That's your transmission unique number, tune on the outside, that includes that valve body assembly with all the solenoids. So if you took the whole transmission out and you've put another whole transmission in that's a matched set, you then have to program the tune number to the computer system so that it knows what set of solenoids are on that valve body so that it can make the shift. But if you just change the valve body, still the same transmission, but you're going to change the valve body with all the solenoids, now you have a part unique number. So you have to put that part unique number in to assign it to that tune number.
Yeah, so it goes out to the cloud, gets the particular data on how those solenoids are going to work.
What their combination is in their pressure outputs and where they're located. So yes, you have to do that. And so that's critical. And when you're changing a part or changing a transmission, so your adaptations are right. But now we've also had an issue where once that's done and you have to then reset adaptations, we've had difficulties getting the transmission up to temperature with the way it will drive. The way it would drive is so harsh, the shifts are so crazy that you can't drive it to get it up to temperature for the adaptations then to begin to work. So a lot of times what we have to do is let it idle and park till it gets as high as it can get temperature-wise. And then we'll put it in gear and torque brake it a few times to get it up to temperature so that we can then begin to do the adaptation within the range that they want it to be in. And we've also had situations where even when you're changing a transmission, that it won't accept the tune number, the TUN number. And we found that we would have to reprogram it to the original tune and then go back and put the poon in that's on that transmission. So we'd have to pull the pan, look at the number that's on the valve body, and it would accept the poon number. So we've seen things like that occur out on the field.
How fun.
Oh, yeah.
So if this doesn't work, try that.
Yes. But these are changes that we have to be aware of. And some of the issues that come with those changes.
Amazing. I love some of these behind-the-scenes stories. What else?
We've had situations with, say, Ford 10-speeds. We encountered one. I learned what it seems to be the problem with this from G, actually. We had a Ford diesel, 10R140 transmission where after they had put in a transmission, they did the normal updates. And during the updates, it went from the PCM to the TCM and then to the glow plug module. And then the system froze. They couldn't redo the test. And it turned out that that glow plug module was damaged and needed to be replaced. So when they had brought it to the Ford dealership, they said that they've seen that happen from time to time. And G said it's because on those type of vehicles, you need to not use the J box. You need to have much more newer equipment to do that programming with. And so some of the earlier programming equipment will not do that job nicely. We've also had a situation where we had a transmission shop, again, same type of unit. During the programming, all of a sudden the lights started coming on the dash and found out that the customer had done some changes to his diesel system where he removed certain things to be able to have more power, more torque. And now we didn't know that. The shop didn't know that, and they're programming it. Now all these things are missing, and now the programming is where it needs to. We either need to put in what's taken out or have someone reprogram it where all these diesel parts are missing. So they call them deletes. So we have to be careful when we're programming Ford 10 speeds to make sure that what is the vehicle we're working on, make sure we use the newer equipment for programming, and to be aware if any diesel deletes were done before programming.
You know, I just sit here in awe and in shock. Can everyone know all this?
Experienced people who have...
Yeah, there you go. It's no different than a full-blown technology specialist diagnostician, you know, on the motor side, if you will, on the total vehicle. Transmission specialty, to me, seems like you can almost name your wage if you're that good.
Yeah. A good transmission man could make some pretty good money. The thing is to find a place that could pay that kind of money, that's doing that kind of work.
Are transmission shops struggling to really make a good profit?
Well, the shop that I work at, when I'm here in Florida, not in Milwaukee, they're busy, 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 busy. But what is the caveat is getting parts. I'll go there and I'll see four or five transmissions half built, just sitting there waiting on parts, waiting on parts, waiting on parts. And that's the big issue that I see in this shop. But they turn some really good numbers at this shop. They're very, very busy. So it's not about work. It seems like the work is there. It's getting the parts to get that job done as quickly as possible. That's what's difficult.
It's not like you need something else to do, Wayne, but working at a transmission shop, what just keeps you in the thick of it?
Well, yeah, I work with a great tech named Craig. He's been coming to ATSG seminars as long as I've been doing them. He goes to ATRA seminars. He goes to every seminar possible, and just a great tech. And the shop is only 5 miles away from where I live. And I go there and spend time there and just stay on top of what's happening in a shop and participate in diagnosing. And it's fun. I can't stop it. It's in my soul.
Well, as they say, it's in your blood, baby. Hey, look, this was great. I know you could go on for 2 hours and just keep coming up with these really cool little unique scenarios. Give us one more.
Give you one more. Well, one of the things with the 8L90 transmission, they have a binary pump, which is offset. A lot of the transmissions now are having offset pumps, which means that the pump isn't like right behind the torque converter anymore. So they have the torque converter run a drive gear, and the drive gear either has a chain or there's a couple of gears involved, where it drives the pump offset and it's much further down. So that takes away a lot of space between the converter and the main box of the transmission. And so they have these little small pumps that can really do a good job with pressure output. But this particular pump, it's a binary pump. It's got a stationary cam. It's not a variable pump, but it has a double suction and double pressure output. And they're able to utilize that pump where they only need just one pressure output under low volume demands. And when they need more volume, they could use both sides of the pump. And so it's an interesting design. The PR valve handles that, which if it's going to be able to use both sides of the pump or not. But what makes it interesting is that because it is non-variable, the cam is stationary, it's pinned, and the vanes do not have a vane ring to keep the vanes out against the rotor, against the cam. It sits in the rotor, and the way they design the gasket is so that the pressure output is routed to the center of the rotor to get behind the vanes to push the vanes out up against the cam. And the pump is located above the pan rail of the transmission. So if you put this transmission together with a dry pump, sometimes it's hard to get that pump primed where the oil can get behind the vanes to push the vanes out so it can seal up against the cam. And so you're putting oil in and it's not engaging. You could have that problem. So if you run across that condition, you may want to overfill it to try to get the oil up over the pump so that it gets wet and then maybe get primed and the vanes will start to come out and suck and bring that level back down again. So you want to be aware of that. In fact, GM made many changes to that pump gasket. There's a cover to the body gasket. They've changed like 5 different times. They've changed the bolt torque and the type of bolt that holds it together. They've done some things to try to improve that pump. But that's just one thing to be aware of when you're filling up.
The GM 8L90. Wow. Amazing stuff. And it takes a person like you who's involved with ATSG. And of course, working at a shop, like you have nothing else to do. You're the technical director for ETE Transmissions, or Remans. When do you enjoy life?
That's a very good question. My wife asked me the same thing.
Oh, she must be talking to mine. Work.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, I can't believe we said that at the same time. Oh, my God. Yeah. We're very much alike, Wayne. Very much alike. This was great. Thank you so much. I know you can go on for hours to give us all these cool little tips. And so maybe we'll have to do this again.
Oh, that'll be nice. I thank you for having me on the show. And I also want to just thank all the guys that work at ATSG. They're great tech guys, and they also help keep me on top of things. And got a lot of great techs at ETE that does the same thing. So I'm just blessed because I got so many people I work with that are really, really talented, and they help me stay on top of things. Craig, that I work at Action Transmissions in Florida. I'm around a lot of really good people.
Now, ATSG, do you have to have a subscription to get call up there?
We have a monthly subscription. But for those who would rarely use ATSG, we do have a pay-per-call scenario. So they can call us for help.
What's the website? How do we get in touch?
ATSG.com.
Whew. Nice, easy, simple. I love it. Wayne Colonna, thanks for being here, man.
Thank you, Carm. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.